Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Beth Manley, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hello, this is Heidi Häkkinen from Finland, and you are listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Pizza.
I turned into a bat. I threw it in a steak house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people. This is That Story Show, where we bring your real life stories to the spotlight. It's episode 400, if you can believe it, brought to you the week of January 6th, 2022. I am your host. My name is James Kinnison. My good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I'm totally stoked that we just got a call from Finland.
I know, right?
That was awesome. Thank you.
We love our Finnish listeners, our Finnish fans.
Is that what they are? They're Finnish?
I don't know. Finlandish?
That sounds right, yeah. I don't know.
Finns?
Finnese? That's probably not right, yeah?
Yeah, I think you
well,
just
Well, she'll have to call back
slur.
And let us know. I might have. I'm sorry. I am sorry.
Finish.
If I unfinish. Finish sounds good.
Yeah. We always open with a story, and episode 400 is no exception. This is called Cat Poop Paradise.
It's from
Robert Harrington. My friend is an electrician and was responding to a call for a quote. The couple met him at the door and invited him in. He stepped inside to the only part of the floor not covered in trash. There wasn't even a path to walk through the halls. The couple wanted a quote to have all the ceiling fans replaced. As they went from room to room, he noticed a smell, and the further into the house they went, the stronger the smell became. On reaching a finished back porch, the first thing he noticed was a jacuzzi filled with cat litter, pee, and poop. And judging by the intense smell of ammonia, they had never emptied it.
No.
The lady noticed his disgust and said, "I know we don't use it like most people, but the cats can be so messy with the regular litter boxes. We wanted to keep the floor clean." Oh, man.
No, which is the most ironic part of that whole statement.
Yeah. The floor you can't see or the one that you've created on top of the floor.
A jacuzzi. So my mind straight went to a full-on jacuzzi just filled with cat litter and cat stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I'm thinking, it must have started off like an empty jacuzzi and they just thought, hey, let's throw some cat litter in there, and they just keep covering it up.
That's what I would do. Just layer upon layer. You could go archaeological on that joker and you could find cat turds from long ago. Like Google that pops up, you know, photos from your past from 11 years ago. Here's a poop from 13 years ago from Tabby the cat.
So it was long deceased.
Yeah.
Wow. And probably buried under some of the garbage in your living room.
Well, you know, the cats are doing their business whoever they want. In a hoarder's house, it's just the truth.
Why do you think they wanted to replace the ceiling fans? Maybe to help air out the place?
Or? I don't know. I don't know how you even get to ceiling fans in a hoarder's house, and that's the truth.
They didn't have any kind of paths either. So many questions. So many questions.
Yeah, I have a hoarder in my family. And
do you?
Yeah, I do. Okay. And so does my wife, actually. She's a hoarder in her family. Oh. And it's rough. It's rough. It's rough watching people live like that.
Yeah. I know it's part of mental health too, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is that because, I mean, there's an attachment there. Not to get, you know, philosophical and whatnot, but
yeah,
I feel like I could have those tendencies because the way I hang on to things.
I think anybody's capable, you know, if the right set of circumstances comes your way, you know. What do they say? There, if not for the grace of God, there go I. I mean,
right.
So, you know, but man, there's some lines that shouldn't be crossed. I mean, if you want to hang on to a few Sam's Cheetos tubs, you know, barrels,
right.
That's fine. But, let's keep the smell down by cleaning out the litter box. Don't turn your jacuzzi into a litter box. Yeah. It's,
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Just a little GOK moment.
Don't use your litter box as a jacuzzi or vice versa.
Vice versa. John just brought up a whole new thing. Yeah, don't use your litter box as a jacuzzi. I don't know. Do particles float or do they absorb water and then sink? You know, there's just so many questions. All right, so it's time for us to rewind the week. Let's do that. Well, the first thing I'll say is you might notice a distinct lack of vim and vigor in my voice today. I'm a little more laid back. It's because I have been battling the COVID strain, the latest edition, you know, the new designer COVID.
Yeah. It's been
spreading like a beast through St. Louis. My daughter was kind enough to bring it home to us a couple of weeks ago, and my wife and I both came down with it about the same time. And though
sweet child,
comparing notes to other people in my friend circle who have had it, I had a light version, but it was still headaches and sleeping and you know head splitting headaches and coughing and all kinds of stuff. But I've got the government venom in my veins, and so. It surely wasn't as bad as it could have been. So,
yeah. I am both sorry and thankful that you pulled through it with such grace.
Yes, it's grace that I'm known for. You know, I've come to realize something while I was laying around in the bed is that I was like, I'm custom built for wallowing around in covers. I'm a big, fat, round guy. And, It's like Jell-O in the mold, you know, that it was made from. It's what I think I've custom formed the bed mattress into the shape of my body. I have proof actually, because my wife flipped the mattress over, vertically or horizontally, not vertically. So it's a one-sided mattress. But she flipped it head to foot.
Okay. So 180 degrees.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then she's like, you know, we don't want to wear it out, so we're going to flip it. And I laid down on that thing, and it was like I was laying on a topographical map of the world. There were high points. There were valleys. My whole body rolled to the center of our two, because we have two twin mattresses on our king-size bed. And so we each have our own set of covers and everything. And yeah, it keeps the fighting to a minimum. I mean, we still fight. And you know, slap at each other, and we have bats and stuff next to our beds for when it gets really heated. But anyway, so in the middle of the night, I mean, I could not sleep on this thing because I felt like I was laying on the side of a mountain because the corner was so, I guess, just down where my feet were, now being up near my head, it was bad. So I flipped it over silently. I never even woke her up. It was so
really in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
but that's not even my weekly update. There was a lot of thermometer usage this week, and we have a digital thermometer that you put in your mouth, and which I know is a little outdated because now they have the ones that you just stick on your ear, you know?
All right. Or just scan your forehead with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But we have this one, and my wife is using it, And I said something to the effect of, that's an anal thermometer. And
No, you didn't.
And she says, she just kind of rolls her eyes, puts it in her mouth. She's like, no, it's not. It's an oral thermometer, you idiot. And I said, oh, for real? It's not? And she almost spit it in the sink.
It's not?
Yeah. Sorry. So later on, I got accused of liking. She's like, just because you like to put thermometers up your butt. And I'm like, I never said I liked it. It was just a little jokey joke. To make you second guess putting it in your mouth. That's all.
So, oh man. Anal thermometer.
Yeah. No, that's baby stuff. I don't even think they do that with baby. Maybe they do. I remember Jenna and Jay both having that situation. So maybe they still do. Maybe it's still the most accurate
location. Quick and effective way to get the core temperature of a child.
Yeah.
A baby.
You know where your
core is. I don't.
Your core is.
I don't think
butthole.
Either of my kids. Yeah, right. I don't think either of my kids ever. I don't recall it, unless they did that in the hospital when they were born. I don't recall, but man, I don't think I've ever had one of those.
Well, yeah, not in a situation where you would remember it. You know, infant,
right?
Infant life. You know, is thankfully we don't remember things.
Yeah. Well, I have a funny story that kind of goes along with that.
Okay.
You want to hear?
I do.
My mom, you know, she's a nurse. And she told me this. She and I don't know if it really happened or if it's one of those, you know, urban legends for nurses to tell. But she told me about a nurse who was dealing with a particularly cranky and just a belligerent man. Mm. And he just, you know, he was in the hospital and he just was very just rude and everything. And so this was the nurse's end of her shift, and the guy was just giving her a very difficult time, and she's like, okay, well, that's it. So she had to take his temperature, and she said, I'm sorry, sir, we have to take it with an anal thermometer.
But,
and the guy was like, oh, whatever, fine. So she rolled him over and did what you do with those things, and then she left the room. And she was getting a little payback on the particular patient because she also left the building and didn't use a thermometer. Instead, she had a pen that had a flower on the back of it. You know how they'll put something on the back of a pen?
Yeah.
So that it doesn't walk off. And kind of. So apparently, when somebody came by, the guys laying on, you know, his belly with a flower sticking out of his butt. Now, I don't know if that's 100% true, but it sure is.
I don't even care. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's payback, man.
That's great.
Yeah. She may have not kept her job after that either, but
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think you could do it and not even get caught, you know? You just come back and pull it out later. He's laying there. He's falling asleep. You don't even know. He didn't even hear the photos you took, you know?
This certainly had to have been, because she told me this when I was young, you know? Mm. She's like going through nursing school, or I don't remember, but so it was a while back. So this is well before the days of, you know, cameras in every hallway.
We had Polaroids though. So
yeah, right. That's right.
Don't forget
the cell phone cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, I have an announcement to make, and I'm going to play this first. Cause I'm kind of sad. I'm happy and I'm sad about it at the same time. We got 100 patrons. By the end of December, barely.
December 31st.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And so I have to shave my flipping head. So I I'm not real hyped about it like I was before. It sounded like a great idea.
You had kind of written it off. I mean, you were pretty confident that wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, but in the last minute, people just started piling it on. Like I was getting emails like, so-and-so just became a patron, you know, James Wyman just became a patron, Evan Eckert just became a patron, Lizzie became a patron, Philip Ludens became a patron, Don Marie, wow. Michael Clifton, Mary, or Marcella, Daryl Hafner, Anna. I got Anna.
Anna thermometer.
Yeah. And Eli Schmick, they all became patrons, plus a bunch of dollar patrons and $3 patrons, and it's crazy. Just people came out of the woodwork and pulled it off. So I am grateful. Obviously,
it's a Christmas miracle.
But here's the thing: I was supposed to shave my head in a video.
You're getting cold feet.
I've got it all planned out. I want to call the place that I usually go to and have them, you know, do it and this whole thing. But John has suggested that we wait until June for Dragon Con, for Narthex Con, mm-hmm. and do it live and videotape it there where John could shave my head. And
we could live stream it and everything.
We could live stream it. We could record it, you know, the whole thing. So anyway, I'd love to get your feedback about that. I'm going to ask the patrons actually what they think and primarily base it off what they say, since they
all 100 of them.
Yeah. Well, there's 99 now. I kind of figured somebody was in it just to get me in trouble, and then they were going to yank their support. So
yeah. Well, maybe they'll keep, we'll keep adding patrons from there, and then it'll be like 120 by, who knows? Who knows?
Well, anyway.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we have 1 million patrons.
That's right.
Already, it feels like, because they're like 1 million in my heart.
That's right. That's a great way to think about it. It is special. I do want to make another announcement. Obviously, I've got a YouTube channel I keep promoting, nlcast.com/YouTube. I'd love it if you'd go subscribe. I'm doing pixel art and gaming stuff, and possibly some music coming up soon. We'll just have to see. June 11th, 2022, mark your calendars. Narthex Con 2020, Benton Park Cafe here in St. Louis, Missouri. Registration is open. Go to nlcast.com/narthex for more information. And then lastly, we have a theme show coming January 27th, the last Thursday of this month. The theme is church.
Ooh, church stories.
Yes.
Church. Can they be in, do they have to be funny stories, or can they be spooky? Because
they can be anything. Be anything related to church. So send your stories today and mark them hashtag church to that story show at gmail.com. That would be great. We would love it. We got some iTunes reviews. Dog World from United States says, let's confuse the people who are listening backward. He says,
okay.
Hallelujah, Lucy, Lucifer, I have news for you. Norwegian lady, LBB, kicked in the junk, Narthex, fresh hot pizza, middle school drama, John the clown costume, breaking up with his high school girlfriend, Canadia, nickel and a dime and a quarter and a penny. That's a lot of cash. John and his fart jokes, lemons, recap song, JoJo the Christian clown, nobody's listening. Mm-hmm. John's beard of oil, GOK. The redneck getting punched in the old rewinding the week sound clip. And last but not least, I turned into a bat and flew away. I can think of so many more inside jokes. I love this podcast. If you haven't listened, you should totally do it. That is if you're E for Everyone 10 and up. So also you are listening backwards and you don't get any of this. That's a wake up call to listen to it from the first episode. It's a way better experience. I don't even know why I'm writing this review anyway, since nobody's listening. Sorry. I had to sneak that one in there. Happy 400 episodes, Dog World from the United States. It's great.
Hey!
Christmas songs to sing from the United States wrote,
oh.
With the Christmas songs that you say you don't like, is very offending to some people. Oh. Remember we did that on our Christmas episode?
Yeah, just last couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Some people
recall that.
Some people like those songs and you can offend them with that. And I just want to officially apologize by saying I don't give a crap. if somebody's offended because I don't like their favorite Christmas song, they got bigger problems than just me.
Oh,
love your favorite Christmas songs. It's a free country. It's a free world.
And us expressing our opinions on a Christmas song is not us expressing our opinions on you.
Right.
It's you know, we love you regardless of the Christmas songs.
Yeah. If you want to listen to Christmas Shoes and you just love it to death. And
whatever. Lift your holy hands and keep singing it.
That's right.
I, however, will choose not to.
That's right. And
but I won't point at you and laugh and say, oh, you're an idiot because you listen to that song.
John won't, but I will. All right. So maybe now you can get offended properly. I mean, if we're going to get offended, let's get offended. You know, let's say something. Wait till we say something offensive and then get all upset. Hey, it's time for this.
Quiznos. where we quiz what you know.
All right. Daniel Lewis sent in a quiz today. And
did he?
Yeah.
Did he, Daniel Lewis,
and it's, send us a quiz? It's called the Ghostbusters, Gremlins, and Goonies quiz. So maybe we have a chance to actually win it.
Yeah, after that really hard Christmas one that we had in last episode.
That was rough for me. I think that's why I got COVID. It was so hard.
My wife got it too, I'm pretty sure. We didn't get her tested, but she had a pretty rough time.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I feel your pain. It was not a great Christmas. But, you know. Anyway, we'll move on. Let's move on to this great quiz.
Which of these three movies have never gotten a sequel as of yet? A, Ghostbusters. B, Gremlins. C, The Goonies. Or D, actually, they all have sequels. I'm going to say C, The Goonies.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a difficult one, but Goonies, unless there's some release to VHS video that I never saw.
Yeah, some animation.
Goonies is, yeah, and that wouldn't count. It wouldn't be canon as far as I'm concerned because I haven't seen it.
Right.
If there is. So I'm going with C, Goonies.
Which character said the phrase, "Hey, you guys"? Was it Gizmo from the Gremlins? Sloth from the Goonies?
Sloth.
Yeah, I know. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters or Chunk from the Goonies?
Oh, no. It was Sloth.
Yeah.
100%.
Which character?
We should see how good we do without even using the multiple choice, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Which character said the phrase, "He slimed me"? Ray Stantz from Ghostbusters, Mikey from the Goonies, Peter Venkman from the Ghostbusters, or Billy from the Gremlins? This is,
See, I know them by the actor's name.
Ah.
And I think it was Ray, though.
Okay.
Who was played by Bill Murray.
He
slimed me.
What creature shouldn't you feed after midnight? A gremlin, a mogwai, a sloth, or a slimer?
A mogwai.
With mogwai. All right. Here's the final one. Which actor from the Goonies also appeared in the Gremlins? A, Corey Feldman as Mouth. B, Sean Austin, Mikey. C, Jeff Cohen, Chunk. Or D, Kia Kwan, who played Data. I'm going to say Corey Feldman.
You know, I actually don't know the answer to that because while I know a lot of the information about the Gremlins, I've only seen the movie like once, maybe twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to see it as a kid.
No, I wasn't either. Because
Gremlins, ooh, they're demonic or something. But yeah, so I'm going to have to guess on that. And I'm going to say the Asian guy. What was his name?
Data. Or Kwan. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so here are the answers. And
it was only five questions.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah. We're trying to get the quizzes down to five questions.
That's cool.
Question number one, a Goonies sequel has been rumored, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So question number one's answer was,
yep,
C, Goonies.
Ding, 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 ding.
Who said, I am, or who said, hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, Sloth said this famous phrase, which is still repeated to this day by many of us now in our 40s.
Well, you know why he said it, right?
Yeah, because
he was watching TV, and who was on the TV?
Fat Albert.
Yes, that's right. Okay, that's right.
I don't know. Fat Albert was the one that always said it, right?
That's right. It was Fat Albert.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. Number C. Peter Venkman was the answer.
He was Peter Venkman. Okay,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. He also said, I feel so funky. Earlier in the movie, he says somebody blows their nose and you want to keep it. And then when they find slime in the library basement. So question number four, What do you don't feed after midnight? A mogwai, because he will turn into a gremlin. I don't know what happens if a gremlin eats after midnight, though. Sloth can have a baby Ruth anytime, and Slimer eats all the time. So
I like it.
Question number five, who was the kid that played in both movies? Corey Feldman played Billy's friend Pete Fontaine. He was the one responsible for actually spilling water on Gizmo, and he was much younger in Gremlins than he was in Goonies. So there we go.
And that's some Corey Feldman.
Yeah. He gets around me.
Now that makes sense. I have a vague memory of it now that you said that. So
awesome. Well, let's do some.
Well, I got two out of three.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You did good. I'll give you a ding for that. I'll give you
okay,
a ding.
Okay. Thanks.
For that.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Let's do some listener stories. Yeah! All right, this one's called Crunchy Cupcake. It's a little built-in warning right in the title.
Thank you.
Bill from Indiana says, "Greetings, James and John. Last week we were celebrating my son's third birthday, and an unfortunate event happened to me. The evening's festivity started innocently enough. Party decorations were out. Birthday gifts were stacked on the counter. Our evening's meal was being prepared. Considering one of my first son's words... or my son's first words he ever spoke was taco. We had tacos for dinner.
Taco. That's an interesting first word.
Yeah. Everything was going taco. Well. The dinner was delicious, and we were having a fun conversation around the table. Soon after dinner was finished, it was time to bring out the birthday cake for our birthday boy and sing happy birthday. After the rousing and out-of-tune rendition of the song was done, the three candles were blown out. Eventually, they were blown out. My mother-in-law is a smart one. She makes a small cake with the candles for the little one in case a lot of spit flies while attempting to blow out the candles. The rest of us get cupcakes.
Yep, smart.
Yeah, and it works for me. I have a bit of a sweet tooth, so I'm looking forward to the double chocolate cupcake she made. You know what that means? That means it's chocolate cake with chocolate chips inside. I know that
doesn't
that.
Mean it's got chocolate frosting.
And it could. It could mean that too. The reason I'm mentioning it is because, I mean, because that qualifies. That qualifies as double chocolate either way, your version or my version. But my daughter made triple chocolate brownies.
And
it was brownies with big chunks of chocolate inside and frosting. And it was.
And apparently a little COVID.
It was crazy. It was crazy good. Yeah, a little COVID sprinkled right on in there. She's way past communicable, but she gets bored and she bakes, man. When she was in quarantine, I was eating good, dude.
I remember the cookie she made for the last Narthex Con, and I hope those will be a repeat
That is a challenge I will put to her. Anyway, he says, it works for me. I have a bit of sweet tooth. I was looking forward to the cupcakes. After serving everyone else, I sit down and select my cupcake, and obviously I want the one with the most chocolate icing on it. The first big bite was a morsel of heaven. It was every bit as good as it looked and smelled. And savoring the bite, I looked toward the next one. As bite number two went in, I contemplated the joy of eating a second cupcake once this one was through. However, my attention was diverted when I got a couple of crunches in my mouth while chewing.
Oh, come on now. What's going on?
Why were there crunches?
Yeah, why? Tell me.
It's just a soft cupcake and icing. There's no sprinkles. There's no candy pieces in it. There's no bits of toothpick left over from the decoration. It wasn't hard enough for that. In fact, it didn't crunch like anything I could immediately recognize. Curious at this intrusion into my chocolatey delight, I swished around the partially chewed cake in an attempt to locate the foreign object before crushing down again. Once I detected it, I attempted to diagnose it with my mouth as to not arouse any suspicions from the other end of the table. Oh, it's got to be a bit of eggshell, I thought.
Yes, yes, that's what it's got to be.
That's what's happened. That's happened before. Well, I sat there with a table full of family, and I thought for an instant to just swallow it to avoid attracting attention to myself by digging my fingers in my mouth, or worse, spitting it out into my plate. Either way, I felt it wouldn't be too polite. As I finally located the object, I came to the conclusion that it could be set aside. Just fish it out discreetly as I could. Boy, I'm glad I did. Because as I pulled the quote-unquote eggshell out of my mouth and placed it on my plate, I noticed the icing and cake-covered eggshell had legs, y'all.
Oh, no.
Y'all.
Oh, no.
I had chewed on a stink bug. I had crunched it, crackled it. I had gotten past this exoskeleton and the juices had flowed. I had a flipping stink bug in my mouth and I chewed on it.
I gotta go wash my mouth out because the thought of that's making me feel yucky.
The others at the table saw me remove it from my mouth, and once realizing what it was, they just looked up at me, my face wrenched in disgust. And I said, "Ew!" And I just chewed a stink bug, and I was mortified. My stomach was turning. I had a mouthful of cupcake still. Politeness was out the door now. I spit the rest of my cupcake and rushed to the bathroom to rinse out my mouth. Thankfully, I didn't vomit, but I wouldn't have blamed myself if I did. I spent the next several minutes brushing my teeth and capping it off and guzzling out all my mouthwash. I had a pack of gum. I would have stuffed it all in like Ace Ventura. My night was ruined, but everyone else at the table got a good laugh out of it. Now that I look back on it, it's pretty funny, but I still can't look at a cupcake without some PTSD. As I still hear the crunch in my head, literally in my head.
After
the party was over and everyone left home, I got a random photo text message from my sister-in-law of a stink bug with laughing emojis. Glad I made her evening. Well, anyway, thanks for the show, fellas. I look forward to each episode. Hope this one made you laugh more than vomit. God bless. Bill from Indiana. And he says, P.S., in defense of my mother-in-law, the cupcakes were baked at her home, and then she iced them while at my house.
Uh-oh.
Like most people in the Midwest, we're dealing with an invasion of stink bugs, and I've had several making themselves at home in our kitchen, and I'm convinced that while she was icing the cupcakes, one was disguised on top and got covered over. I don't think she cooked him. As a special ingredient.
I don't think so.
It was just part of the icing. So, and he says, PPS, what's the worst thing you ever ate? Hopefully you have not or will ever experience a stink bug like I did. And I thought about that for a little bit. And I don't know that I've ever eaten anything accidentally like that I could remember. But I do remember as a child, I was in elementary school at lunch, and there was a plate full of food in the segregated little, trays that we used to have. The milk in its milk spot and the main entree in its main entree spot. And up in the upper left was where they would put the salad, whenever there was a salad. And so I pierced the salad and I take the first bite and I look down and I had uncovered a caterpillar that was crawling around underneath the first leaf of lettuce.
And the lettuce.
Yeah. So it was, probably, this was before we would have called it, organic, but it seemed like it was very organic lettuce,
Yeah. It didn't kill that bug, huh?
Yeah.
So, because
my definition of organic is that it's got a little dirt in it.
Yeah. Well, you've got the bugs in it too.
Yeah. So I don't know, John, do you have anything you ever ate on accident like that?
Yeah. So I have accidentally eaten bugs before, but I gotta be honest. I think the worst thing that I have ever ate or bit into is hair.
Oh.
You know, I was at a restaurant in it was a pizza place up in Helen, Georgia. I won't say the name to protect the innocent.
Right,
but and that is unfortunately not the first time this has happened to me, but we had a place in Noonan that had we got a pizza from there, and it had hair in it. I bit into it and pulled the slice back and some of the ingredients are like dangling and it's not dangling from cheese. And I'm like, I'm sorry, everybody, that I just said this, but it was disgusting. And so, yeah, that's the worst thing. Cause a bug is, it's a bug.
Right.
Unless it's like a spider, which I probably have eaten. They say that you eat a certain amount of bugs in your lifetime just right. from produce and stuff like that. And so I've probably eaten millions of bugs and not even known it. But a human hair is nasty and should never be in your food.
I went to a restaurant. You just made me remember. And I had a chicken, half chicken. So, chicken breast and a leg and a thigh and a wing. And I was eating the thigh and the leg. And it was all kind of connected, so I ate the whole thing and I finished it and set it down. And only then did I notice a wiry hair just threaded through the whole thing. Like it was a freaking marionette.
Please tell me it was one of the chicken's feathers.
No, it wasn't. It was a hair. And I had somehow not even touched it or disturbed it the entire time I ate. I pulled out my phone and I've long lost the video, but I was able to literally animate the leg by holding it by the thigh and pulling the string, and the leg would contract and extend before the hair finally broke, But
that's
it was the last time I ever ate at one of these places ever again. And they were a favorite place. I can't even remember the name of it now, but that's probably for the best.
Yeah. Wait, sometimes it just happens. And there's things that can prevent it. But I want to move on because I haven't had dinner yet and I want to be able to eat.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
That's the worst thing I ever ate, though. Yeah. And I didn't swallow it. I did get reimbursed.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, that hair was extra. We are going to charge you extra, sir.
I'll be honest. I've maybe gotten a little jaded, but if it's just a small hair, like a dude's hair.
What?
Like a dude's hair, like short hair, not a short hair. I mean, like.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Yeah. All right.
Not a whirly burly curly, a little straight hair from his head. I will push it aside and I will press on because I'm thinking it's been cooked. It is fine.
Right, right.
But yeah.
And if it comes from your family, you're like, that's my family. Right. But if you go out to eat, maybe you're different, but
I don't know.
Totally would gross Amy out. So I won't even.
So anyway, there we go. John, read us a story called The Secret Sprite.
Okay. It's a little hint for you in that one too, I guess. Now this comes from us. This comes to us from Lydia Talent from Tennessee. It says, "Dear James and John, once upon a time, I thought it would be fun to sneak a Sprite from my garage. So I got a floral metal water bottle and raced out to the garage. Once I got there, I popped open a new Sprite. The smell of lemons drew me in more and more." It's lemons and lime. "I put the metal bottle on the top of the Sprite bottle, putting both openings to one another. And then I turned the Sprite bottle with the opening face down. I thought I was such a genius for coming up with this brilliant way to move one liquid into another bottle so none of my siblings would see that I had snuck a Sprite. But before I could finish praising myself, the metal bottle started gushing out Sprite all over the garage floor, and it didn't stop until the bottle of Sprite had no more liquid, and the garage floor and I were soaked in sticky lemon soda." Nice. "Now, I have stayed away from soft drinks since then, and I don't ever think about trying to fill a bottle with Sprite without some protective gear, and some space outdoors for the soda to explode on, and not on me. My life lesson, thank you, Lydia, for bringing a life lesson into this. My life lesson from this is to not ever do that again.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good life lesson. Good perspective. I hope this makes it on the show. Keep up the amazing work. This show is a hilarious thing to listen to because even if I'm mad, I always find myself laughing. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much, Lydia, for a great story and a great life lesson.
Yes, it's important as you're growing up. You know, Lydia's obviously a younger listener. You don't know about the effects of carbonation. It may just make sense. You put the two tips together, you flip them over, you know, it transfers, it's fine.
But brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's going to explode.
Turned into a big vortex of exploding gas liquid.
I don't know that she needs, what'd she say? She needed gear. She's like, I need gear next time. No, you just need to pour slowly.
Yeah, just pour slowly. You'll get there.
My son used to be so impressed. He's 13 now, and nothing I do impresses him now. But a few years ago when he was 10 and 9 and 7, he would watch me pour soda into a glass and how I would, in his mind, expertly stop just as the fizz bubbled up to the very tip without pouring over. And it would go back down. He'd be like, wow. It was the most amazing thing to him ever. And like I said, now, you know, I'm embarrassing. I get in trouble. He yells at me for stuff. So,
well, Dad, good old Dad.
Good old Dad. It comes around full circle from what I understand. I have a friend who has adult children, and they start liking you again once they move out. So,
that's good. It's encouraging.
Well, they need your money is what I hear. So, Ride the Lightning comes to us from Marcella. Cadiz. I discovered you guys by listening to the Babylon Bee shortly after my husband passed away. I went back to catch up all the way from the beginning, and I just finished show number 399, and it was my goal that by show 400 to finally send in a story of my own. Well, look at you. You did it, and you got on the show.
Yes.
Congratulations. I also wanted to let you know that I understand the depression and the anxiety that you go through, and your stories have gotten me through a lot of mental and emotional turmoil as well. Now on to the story. Well, I'm glad we've helped. I mean, it's always awesome to hear.
Yes.
Thank you. When my husband and I met, we were 14 and 15. And this story would have happened in the late spring of 87. There was a fraternity house that had been shut down and boarded up that everyone used to break into. It was a huge three-story with a full basement sitting up at the top of a hill with a cemetery behind it. It was the kind of house just off the university campus. So we were cutting school one afternoon, and it was my future husband, Mike, myself, and three other friends, one chick, two guys. As I said, it was boarded up, and there was a lot of boards missing on the first floor, so there was quite a bit of light when we first arrived. My friend Lori and I were really scared and holding on to each other. We were walking through the house. Mike told us all that he wasn't afraid of anything in this house. That was his proclamation.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, foreshadowing there. We all reached the wide staircase, and everyone else was nervous as we had no flashlight with us, and it got darker the higher up we went because of all the boards that were still intact. The stairs went like 10 and then a landing and then 10 and then the second floor. This is a huge staircase. Then 10, then a landing, 10, third floor.
Mike, a big house, three floors. Yeah. Good night.
Mike was leading us all up. I just imagine Luigi's Mansion. That's what I got in my head. Mike was leading us all up, and I was cowering, bringing up the rear. As I turned on the last landing and looked up into the dark, I suddenly saw something that made me scream and start running back down the stairs. And everyone else reacted and screamed too and followed suit, though they hadn't seen anything. Now, remember, Mike was the one leading the way, but he beat us all back down to the bottom. Mr. I'm not afraid of anything in this house. I told them that I'd seen something glowing in the dark. Mike looks down and points at the t-shirt he's wearing and says it was my dumb shirt. He had his Metallica Ride the Lightning glow in the dark shirt on. Years later, we still laugh about that, and I would tease him about beating us all to the bottom of the stairs when he, quote, wasn't afraid of anything in that house. I hope you enjoyed my story, and I'm happy to know that I helped get to the 100 for you to shave your head. Wow. You're one of the problem people that I have to thank for my new hairdo that's coming soon.
Marcella. Oh, man. Maybe we can shave an M into your head in honor.
I do have ideas that there should be several designs as we start shaving it away. It shouldn't just be a straight shave to bald. Like I want to go in and ask for like a mohawk first, you know?
Yes.
And you know, things like, and just try different styles out before going all the way down, you know, to bald. So.
Yeah, well, you know, every guy, I think every guy that can grow facial hair after they get a big full beard and they're like, all right, I'm ready to get rid of this. Yeah. They shave it off in phases, right?
Yes, true.
You do some mutton chops and then you do a goatee, or you have to do the little Hitler stash. I've got
did
many
you do
pictures.
A Hitler stash, John?
I've done them all.
I've never done a Hitler stash.
You've never done
no.
One time I shaved the word beard into my beard. Yeah. And I think I've got a picture of it somewhere. I should pull that out.
I hadn't shaved since before Christmas, until recently. And I had a pretty substantial, I had about an inch on my face, and well past the itchy phase, you know.
Yeah.
And I decided to take it off, and I did. I took it all off except for the mustache, and I took a picture and sent it to my wife. And I said, I shaved. And dude, I looked like an 80s. I don't know. Like I should have been driving a van around the neighborhood asking kids to get in or something. It just did not look good on me at all.
I
look like the creepy uncle, you know, just and I shaved it immediately, but I made her think for the whole day that she was at work that she was going to come home to mustache James, you know.
I did that once. Okay, so this was in our old house. I shaved it down, you know. I had gone through the different phases and I just had a mustache left, and I was like, this actually looks kind of good on me. Yeah, I was kind of proud of it.
First too, yeah.
And so I go downstairs to tell Amy, and I said, "Hey, babe," and she looks up at me and she says, "Hey, Peter."
Oh, yeah.
And so I just turned right back around.
My wife texted me and said, "There are no more kisses until that thing is gone." And I'm like, "Okay."
She called me Peter in reference to the IT crowd. Yes, yeah, yes. Peter. Peter file. I was like, okay, this is coming off. I know what your official opinion is about me and a mustache, and that's
I think it's associated with pedophilia, and it's not good at all.
Oh man, it's like in style now, not pedophilia, but mustaches are in style now.
God,
a lot of dudes
us.
Around here are wearing mustaches again.
And
mullets, mustaches and mullets, man, they're back.
Really? That's crazy. Yeah. Not here in the city.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I guess out here in the country, it must be the thing. Hey, I got a story from Abigail. Should I read it?
Yeah.
It's a noteworthy signal. I recently started listening to your podcast. Thank you. I have always loved hearing people's funny stories, so I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for that, Abigail. We enjoy you listening.
Absolutely.
And sending this in as well.
Yeah.
So here we go. My neighbor owned two horses, and my brothers and I used to go over to his farm once a week to help with the chores, you know, sometimes ride the horses as well. On the morning of this story, the horses were in the ties in the barn, ready to be brushed and have their hooves cleaned out. Mm. That sounds like fun. It sounds like work. But, you know, I guess if you're going to ride the horse, you got to brush it and clean it too. Clean its hooves. Now, occasionally, one of the horses would decide to poop on the barn floor while we were caring for them. On such occasions, one of us would go get a bucket and a shovel and hold our breath and scoop the smelly substance. Ugh. Whenever we saw one of the horses raise its tail, that was the telltale sign for us to go and grab a bucket and a shovel. On this particular morning, I was cleaning out one of the horse's back hooves, and Since I was looking downward, I did not see the particular noteworthy signal. Ah, thus our story's name. I didn't see the noteworthy signal of impending danger.
Dun-dum.
And then I felt a warm, wet, squishy thing smack into the back of my neck.
Dun-dum. My first thought
was that one of my mischievous brothers was throwing mud balls at me. Yeah. However, I was pelted with more of the squishy objects. I realized the truth. The horse was taking a dump on my head.
Awesome.
I quickly moved out of the path of fire, but I had to go the rest of the morning with horse poop residue on my neck. He's so gross. Needless to say, I took a good shower when I got home. Yeah. Hope this makes it on the show.
Oh,
it did. Do you have any splatter sounds that we could play instead of a bell for that?
No. All I know is I want to play Never Have I Ever with Abigail because I would win because I'd be like... Never have I ever been pooped on by a horse.
Yes.
Abigail would have to sit down or put her finger down or whatever, you know. Oh, man. I guess it's just, you know, it's what happens when you mess around with animals whose butthole is higher than your head.
At least horses are vegan, right?
Yeah. I mean, with goats and dogs and stuff, their poop is annoying, but you don't have to worry about it coming from above you. You know?
Yeah. Usually you step on it.
Yeah.
The worst you can get
just knee high at most, you know, it might fall on your foot or under your foot, but, yeah, with a horse. Yeah. At least they have tails that cover themselves.
Right. It's not like a cat that you have to stare at its hiney every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I get really aware sometimes of my dog's buttholes and, I don't know why, but they just, they prance around like they own the place. It's like they have a bell that they ring to go out and I thought it was a great idea, but now I feel like a freaking dog butler. Like it's my job to jump up because they look at me. They ring the bell and they just stare
at me, sir.
Like I forgot to refill their wine glass or something. And
I'm waiting for you to open the door. I've got no phone.
And then they just turn and walk away and their butts are facing me. And I can't help but think it's on purpose. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just look at this for a while, James. You think you own us. We own you. Let us out.
It's true.
Anyway, tater salad bowl. This is the worst story ever in history. No. I know I keep saying that. Like every now and then I say it's a worst story, but this one, seriously, I even messaged her and said, thanks for sending the story, but I hate you. You know, no, I didn't say that. I just said it's the worst story ever. One Easter several years ago, my sister-in-law and I were bustling around our church's kitchen, tidying and dishing out food through the pass-through. You know about the pass-through. It's the, you know,
right. Yeah. It's
the hole in the wall where you,
the men, where the
men can see it all
through the men.
I don't know. There were other ladies in the kitchen cleaning and washing dishes as well. And we finally get worked through the line and start the real cleanup job. There was a sweet older woman washing dishes who made the absolute best tater salad ever.
Tater salad.
She brought in this particularly large bowl. She grew up without running water. Mm. And so she loved to wash the dishes. And she was lovely washing this giant stainless steel bowl. Tater salad bowl. It's very important to say. My sister-in-law and I stopped on either side of her as we were all chatting and having a great time. And she took a deep sigh and smiled really big and said, I just love this bowl. And we're like, why? She gently shook her head and said, oh, this is a special bowl. Tater salad, special bowl. Hooked, though, we leaned in closer, thinking surely it held some fond memory of some past time. She happily filled us in to satisfy our curiosity when she said, well, this is my afterbirth bowl.
What?
Three of my kids' afterbirth went into this bowl. I had all home births. I told you it was the worst story ever.
It's not a tater salad
bowl. You didn't believe me, did you? You didn't prepare, John. Purely mortified, but trying to hide it. We just started laughing. This woman had 13 kids, by the way.
Oh! I don't know what just... Wait. It caught all... Wait, you just said it only had three.
She said it three of her kids. She must have used various bowls. like, don't borrow Tupperware from this lady.
She has a casserole dish that caught the other three.
Yeah, slow then, cooker, you know, just, you know, pressure cooker. Yeah, no, it's
this is my afterbirth frying pan.
Oh, it's so nasty. This woman had 13 kids. She is what we call pioneer stock from the hills of Arkansas.
Yeah.
She continued to fill us in on the details, which I'll spare you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please, I don't.
We later shared this news with some of the others who were there that morning, and one guy spewed his drink everywhere, and the other just stopped dead, staring into the distance, thinking. He threw his hands in the air and shouted, "Thank God I didn't eat the potato salad."
Well, it's not like it was still in there.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just have a rule that once a bowl's used for something special like that, it belongs to that thing. From there on out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, my mom raised dogs, and it was not uncommon for the dog dishes to get intermingled with our dishes.
Oh no.
And so there would be a sink full of water, soapy water. And food and dog puffed up dog food would be floating together. And
that's the worst.
One day the pan would be on the in the backyard with dogs stepping in it, eating food out of it. And the next Sunday it would be full of biscuits for Sunday dinner. And I never got over that. And it's like a major thing for me that dishes be used only, you know, for one purpose.
I agree with you on that. I will say scientifically, stainless steel is probably one of the best ones. If you're going to have an afterbirth bowl and use it as a potato salad bowl, maybe use stainless steel. But
do I need to bring up the tooth?
No.
I mean, the guy in our past story swallowed his own tooth, pooped it out, fished it out, bleached it, and put it back in his face. That's an example of... That tooth now belongs to your gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah.
It does not belong to your mouth part of your body anymore. And this bowl belongs in a medical museum, you know, for home birth people.
Yeah. This is my afterbirth bowl.
It's just, why would you proudly share that? I don't know. You should have it engraved and placed in a formal setting in your home.
Like maybe put some plants in it or something.
Yeah, not potato salad. Instead
of tater salad. So,
I don't know.
Tater salad.
And on that, let's go have dinner, you know?
Thanks, Emmy Holloway, for a great story, by the way.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. Hey, do you have stories? Everybody does. Whatever your story is, send them via email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we use your story today, we owe you a sticker. Email us your address. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Just ask all the new patrons that jumped in at the last minute to get my hair shaved if it's worth it. It is. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens, you don't get stressed, don't get depressed, don't reuse that stainless steel bowl. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Sean!
Thanks, James, and happy 400.
Yes. Happy New Year, too. I think it's...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Happy New Year.
I hope everyone has a great one. I hope your goals are reached. I hope you work out.
All those resolutions you made, keep going strong.
Yeah.
Hope one of those resolutions was to keep listening to That Story Show.
That's true. Tell a friend. That's what we do. Yeah. Don't forget about my YouTube either. It's struggling. I'm not famous yet, and I thought I'd be famous by Thursday. So,
well, By Thursday?
Yeah.
Which Thursday?
Like today.
Oh, gotcha.
Very upset.
Good luck.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.